Great. So, okay, here we go. Tuesday afternoon, my brain is full. But hopefully you've got a little bit more space for a couple more presentations. Today we're going to look at plant and soil systems. And my research interests are in metabolites and how the metabolic kind of nutrient composition of plant cells and soil microbes respond to different levels of fertilizer availability as well as environmental stress. Now, let's think about ice cream. It's hot outside in Tampa Bay, and if we're trying to assess a metabolic effect of eating ice cream, we're not going to want to sample our whole arm. It's going to be really difficult to pick up on the kind of the increase in the blood glucose level that we know we're going to have when we eat ice cream. So, of course, we want to sample our blood, and we're going to get a much clearer signal in terms of the carbon response in our metabolic pools as opposed to testing our arm. But in agriculture, often we're testing the entire leaf, which obviously includes the blood, okay, in terms of those, that metabolic pool, but we might be losing sometimes the signals that we could be seeing in the blood in the whole leaf. And the results that we'll go through today will show you maybe some of the implications of this. Now, the initial push for this project was out of developing or making a contribution to the development of management strategies to improve water limitation tolerance of crops, because going forward into the future, we're going to need to produce more food with less water, likely, in terms of some of the key agricultural regions around the world being projected to experience significant reductions in soil moisture while we're growing our population, and hopefully we can do that with less fertilizer. Now, in terms of plant responses to water limitation, we know that they change their metabolic pools by accumulating solutes, both organic type of solutes and inorganic types of solutes. And they're doing that to increase their osmotic potential because it's getting physically more difficult to draw water into the plant from the soil. And the plant manufactures carbon-based or organic solutes, so we're going to measure that in terms of carbon, and then it can accumulate inorganic solutes from the soil. Organic solutes can be accumulated in the vacuole or the cytoplasm because they're compatible with cellular metabolism at high concentrations. You may have heard the term compatible solutes, whereas inorganic solutes have to be regulated and will accumulate in the vacuole. Now, what about fertilizer effects on solute composition in the leaf sap of leaves? And a small body of literature has shown that with increased levels of fertilizer availability, that the nitrate in particular concentration will consistently increase in leaf sap. So we're looking at that metabolic pool of the leaf, while at the same time the carbon concentration in this metabolic pool in the plant will decrease. And so I wanted to ask the question, to what extent might that have an implication for subsequent or future drought stress tolerance? If we have a plant that's grown fast in terms of the typical response that we see to a nitrogen fertilizer, we know that its solute composition is changing in terms of this inverse relationship. Is it going to be compromised in some way in terms of future growth with change in solute composition, primarily by having a lower level of leaf sap carbon? And so to study this question, we used collard greens, which is a heat tolerant and biennial crop, and we used a soil that was a potting mix. It's a greenhouse experiment that was high in pasture-based soil and sand to try and best mimic field conditions, while we're also trying to ensure a strong amount of microbial inoculation, because we did a fair amount of microbial analysis, again trying to compare the responses of both the above and below. We grew all of the plants out for a total of 9 weeks, which concluded the normal trial across four different fertilizer treatments, and then we harvested half of the plants in each treatment, which was 9, and that established our kind of, hopefully we're going to get that inverse relationship in terms of the effect of the fertilizer additions on the carbon and nitrate concentrations in the leaf sap, and then the additional 3 weeks of the water limitation stress, and we harvested the rest of the plants, and we could compare between the normal trial and the additional 3 week water limitation period. So here we added the fertilizer additions, which was for a potassium and nitrogen-based fertilizer on kind of a 10-10-10 type NPK analysis, with the medium rate approximating like a field's kind of recommendation, and a non-limiting addition of phosphorus was made to all of the treatments. So the water limitation trial was really unique because we applied our water limitation in proportion to biomass. So we wanted each plant to experience the same degree of water limitation. So bigger plants got more water than smaller plants, but each plant, regardless of size, wilted to the same degree and for the same duration each day. And in this way, we were able to apply an equal metabolic stress across all of the treatments and try and isolate for the nitrogen and potassium fertilizer effect as best as we could. So we chopped the plants up into bits, weighed out the different segments, and then we froze them just at minus 20 for about a month until we were ready to start pressing them, where we took the leaf material without the midribs and pressed it and got the sap, which we spun down, and we were working with the clear supernatant for our analyses. So as we go forward here, each of the graphs that we're going to see is comparing the normal trial with the water limitation trial, and we have the fertilizer treatment groups there in each period. So the shaded area are the plants that had the additional 3 weeks of growth under water-limited conditions. And in terms of leaf sap nitrate, we did see an increase. It wasn't linear. We've got exceptionally low levels in the control and the low, and we can see that in the medium and the high, the concentration of leaf sap nitrate increases significantly under both growing periods. And then in terms of carbon, we got the reduced amount of carbon that we had expected in terms of increased levels of fertilization, and then that carbon increased overall under the water limitation period, which we might have expected in terms of accumulating those compatible solutes. And the slope changed slightly, but we have a similar effect. So now, did this change, we established that we have a change in the leaf sap carbon to nitrate ratios. Did this affect growth once we subjected the plants to the additional 3 weeks of a water limitation stress that was equally applied regardless of plant size? Here we can see, this is our prediction. So at the high treatment, we predicted that it would grow significantly less than the medium or the low treatment, at least on a relative basis. And in terms of our results, unfortunately, we did not find that the high treatment grew less. We can see kind of a clear nitrogen growth, the yield response kind of maxing out at the medium and the high treatment. So although the high plants here, the high fertilizer addition plants, have decreased levels of carbon in their metabolic pools before the water limitation trial in the dark region there, the shaded box, this would suggest that the plant was able to increase its carbon concentrations in its metabolic pool without a large decrease or any decrease in terms of its growth response. But we're not done there because we looked at the soil. Okay, we did quite a bit of soil analysis. And here the question was whether or not fertilizer additions would impact the microbial solutes across the fertilizer gradient under normal and a water-limited condition. And here this is a summary graph of the general patterns that we found, and that under the normal trial, under the normal conditions, we didn't see an effect of increased fertilization. But under the water limitation trial, or after the water limitation trial, we did see a clear effect of the fertilizer, and we can see that the microbes are accumulating different solutes in terms of availability. And the one to focus on here is nitrogen in the green going up. Okay, now, what was left over? So we looked at the plant pool, we've looked at the microbial pool, and what's left over is what's in the soil. Okay, and this is a really interesting graph because we can see that under the control low and medium treatments, there's very little nitrate left in the soil. But under the high treatment, all of a sudden, we're getting water-soluble nitrate hanging around, and this is a condition where we're likely to be experiencing less nitrogen use efficiency, and we're more prone to be getting like a leaching kind of effect in terms of nitrogen losses from the system. So now we're going to put this all together. Under the normal trial summary, comparing the leaf sap nitrate with the soil nitrate, we can see here that there's a nice parallel relationship, and this might suggest that leaf sap nitrate is worthy of future study in terms of a potential indicator for soil nitrate because there are some handheld and in-field tools available. But certainly more research would be required. Okay, so under the normal trial, we saw microbial N not responsive, and we did see that inverse relationship between leaf sap nitrate and leaf sap carbon, which did not have an effect in terms of the shoot biomass that we had predicted. Now, under the water limitation summer trial, we got a similar relationship between leaf sap nitrate and soil nitrate, and perhaps this would suggest that if leaf sap nitrate could hold as an indicator of soil nitrate status, even under some type of water-limited or environmental stress condition, which would be nice. Microbial nitrogen increased significantly under the water limitation trial in response to increasing amounts of availability, and we'll get to that in a minute, and we had that decrease in leaf sap carbon. So in summary, we got a change in terms of the carbon and nitrate ratios in leaf sap, that inverse relationship, but it did not affect growth during water limitation. There is some suggestion to say that leaf sap nitrate may be an indicator of soil nitrate status, and perhaps the relationship with soluble carbon could be factored in there in terms of the development of a potential field test. And the microbial N uptake is significant during water limitation. And this might have implications when we're thinking about biological soil management in terms of boosting soil microbial biomass. So a soil that's been managed has a higher soil microbial biomass, then enters water limitation or a drought. It's potentially that the microbial biomass will be accumulating more nitrogen in relation to the amount of microbial biomass that's in the soil. So that might have considerations for soil management practices as we look to increasing soil microbial biomass. So thank you to all of the folks that have helped me along the way, and I look forward to answering any questions that you have.
Eric. We have time for questions.
Yeah.
What happened to the potassium?
Great question. Yes, yeah, I didn't put the potassium graph. There wasn't, the control actually had the highest concentration of potassium in its leaf sap, which was surprising statistically, and then the low, medium, and high had a slight increasing trend, but it wasn't a big effect. So potassium stayed relatively equal across the addition treatments. However, the controls were significantly higher, which was interesting. Thank you. Yeah?
Would you have expected different results if you only added nitrogen and no potassium?
Would I have expected different results if I'd only added nitrogen and no potassium? It's a good question. So the reason why I added nitrogen and potassium, I think I might. I might have, I guess, would be the answer. The reason why I added nitrogen and potassium is because potassium nitrate's a really easy fertilizer to work with in terms of getting an easy nitrate supply into the experiment. And then the other reason is that by adding potassium, I could control for another solute that was likely to be accumulated in the plant. Whereas if I'd hadn't added potassium, then I might get increased amounts of sulfate or chloride or other things that they're in the soil that I was unable to analyze. Thanks. Yeah?
You might have hit on it during the talk, but how did you measure carbon in the...
Yeah, so that was by combustion on a Shimadzu machine. So it was a liquid. I diluted the carbon down and then analyzed it by combustion. Yeah, all the microbial biomass was from chloroform fumigation. All of the soil extractions were done in distilled water. Yeah.
Just curious, you said that during the when you use the water, the wilting test.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question. So it wasn't perfect, but I think we achieved a pretty equal water limitation, and it was basically on the first sign of wilting, the plants would be watered. Now, how we actually pulled that off was that we weighed each plant at wilting. So we got a pot weight with the plant and the soil at wilting, and then we calculated the difference or the amount of water that the plant was transpiring, that specific pot was transpiring throughout the day, and we would calculate a water addition so that we could predict its wilting time in time for the next watering. Does that make sense? So we calculated individual water dose for each plant so that it would wilt in time for the next watering, and that amount of water was different based on plant transpiration rates, which were measured just by weighing the pots.
So if the pot is open,
Yeah.
How do you tell?
Yeah, I didn't record any transpiration or just evaporation off the top of the pot. I never recorded it, but we did do a few tests, and it was very minimal in terms of the amount of water that was evaporating off the top of the pot. The large plants in the high treatment went through an incredible amount of water.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
really
thank you.
Appreciate that talk and great. Different spin on some.